First public hearing is conditional use number 1741, David G. Horthy and Sons Incorporated.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a borrow pit excavation to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Nanticoke 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 199.5 acres, more or less, lying north of Route 20, also referred to as Hardscrapple Road, and east of Route 446, also referred to as Ashbury Road. For the benefit of the commission, I passed down some revised site plans that were submitted on April 28th. The commission was also provided with an exhibit booklet just for informational purposes. It is a part of the record. It was provided by the applicant on April 28th. It includes a design summary, which references the location, the boundary and topographic surveys, rare, threatened, and endangered species, critical natural areas or unique habitat in the area, historic buildings, compliance with the zoning requirements, provisions for water supply and sewage disposal, and surface and groundwater pollution prevention methods. Gentlemen, we also received three agency comments to date. First one being from the Department of Transportation in the form of a support facilities report. We're advised that a traffic impact study is not recommended.
Thank you, sir.
That Route 20, in referencing U.S. Route 9 to Route 74, the level of service A under present conditions, under existing conditions with development under existing zoning and existing peak hour traffic plus site generated traffic and projected level of service with no highway improvements, the level of service could increase to level of service C. Under existing conditions with development under proposed zoning, existing peak hour traffic plus committed development plus site generated traffic and projected level of service with no highway improvements during your peak hour, it could be improved to a level of service B to coincide with highway peak hour. From the County Engineering Department, we received a memorandum dated May 7th, making reference to this site and the proposed use. The site is not located in a county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer and or water district. It is located in the Western Sussex Planning Area, which is a study area. Most of their comments in the memo is not applicable to this application. They note that the project proposes to use an on-site septic system if any services are necessary. In an additional comment, the proposed borrow pit excavation is not in an area where Sussex County currently has plans to provide sewer service. Therefore, a concept plan is not required. I have another memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District, dated May 6th of 2008. It notes that there are 11 different soil types on this application site, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that the site does contain areas of hydric soils and the applicant would be required to follow all federal and state wetland requirements, that there are no storm flood hazard areas affected, that it may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements, that the applicant would be required to follow state sediment and stormwater requirements for on-site drainage improvements, that the Stony Branch and Ascalon Branch tax ditches may be affected by this application. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared showing the site and the surrounding area. Also a copy of the soil survey map of the same general area. We also have attached to that copies of a soils report, several pages. And we also have a two-page document in reference to prime and other important farmlands. And that's all I have, gentlemen, at this time.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Before we ask the applicant to begin their presentation, is there anyone here with an interest in this application this evening, either for or against? Or okay, thank you. All right, the chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
Good
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney in Georgetown, and I do represent the applicant, David G. Horsey & Son, Inc. With me is Bobby Horsey of the company and Jeff Clark from LandTech. As Mr. Lang stated, a revised site plan and an exhibit booklet was submitted, and I assume you gentlemen have copies of that. This is a conditional use application for a borrow pit for a parcel of land located on the north side of Hartscrapple Road, which is Route 20. The property also borders on the east side of Asbury Road, which is right over here. The site is approximately 3 miles southwest of Georgetown, and it is just east of the Route 9, Route 20 intersection. The property contains 199.5 acres of land, and it's currently zoned AR1. The site was previously owned by Gladfelder Corporation, and it is wooded. There is a 150-foot-wide Delmarva power easement, which crosses the property in the southwest corner, and that's right down here. And also, there's a tax ditch which crosses the property just to the north of the power easement, and that's right here. The site is not in a flood zone. The parcel is mainly bordered by cleared farmland and woodland on the west, the north, and the east, and the property fronts on Route 20, again, which would be the south portion of the property right there on the south. And also there's, I believe it's three parcels of land that front on Route 20 that this site basically backs up against. Directly across Route 20 from the site is the original borrow pit that was excavated by the Horsey Company, which is referred to as pit number one. David G. Horsey & Son, Inc. have been in the excavating business for 22 years. As I said, pit one across Route 20 was their original site. The company employs 142 people in a variety of positions related to the business. The company also operates an excavation site which is adjacent to the Delaware Solid Waste Facility east of this site on Route 20, and also a site on Route 9 which is west of this site. The excavation of Pit 1 located across the street has been completed, and that site is currently in the process of reclamation. I think this picture probably, or photograph probably shows as much as I could explain. Route 20 is running through here. This was the site of Pit 1, and the piece in question tonight before you is the wooded piece right here. Probably can't see it from there, but this line right through here is that power easement. Through here is the tax ditch. Again, this was the offices of Pit 1. As you can see, the reclamation is well underway. It's been seeding and grading, and that's basically what it looks like today. This site here has some clumps of trees that had been cut down, and basically that's the condition it's in now. Taken from another angle, this again is the site across the street over here. And you can see toward the rear of this piece, it's open farmland. And again, there is a wooded section a little bit further over. The original site, the Pit 1 area, what was excavated there was an area of about 90 acres. This application proposes to excavate an area of approximately 135 acres, so it would be a little bit larger than the pit across the street. Again, as you know, a borrow pit operation involves the removal of topsoil, gravel, and sand. And based on the past history of the operation of Pit 1 and soil studies that were done for this site, it was determined that this proposed site is an excellent location for the intended material. In other words, the soils on this site basically are what is desired to be excavated. In addition, since Pit 1 was operated across Route 20 and is now completed, this proposed operation and its impact will be basically similar to the conditions that have existed in this location since the 1980s. Trucks leaving the site will enter onto Route 20 and either go east toward toward Route 113 or west toward Route 9. Based on the historical data, the average trucks leaving Pit 1 were approximately 170 trucks per day, or about 340 round trip, and it's anticipated a similar number of truck trips would operate from the proposed site. Those trips are spread out over the workday as trucks are loaded, so there's not a concentration at any one time, obviously, because there has to be a loading of the vehicles. As Mr. Lank stated, based on the number of trips, DelDOT did not require a traffic impact study for this application, and of course the entrance improvements and design will be in accordance with the DelDOT entrance permit. As to the site itself, in addition to the soil studies that were done, a phase one environmental site assessment was performed by Jim McCulley of Environmental Consultants. That is in Exhibit 7 of the booklet that was submitted. From his study, there was no indication of any adverse environmental features or conditions or threatened or endangered species on the site. A buffer will completely surround the site on the west, the north, and the east. The buffer will be 50 foot wide, and that's shown on the site plan again, this area here. Oh, okay, I'm sorry, 100 feet wide. The ordinance requires a 50-foot wide buffer, and again, this this buffer will be 100 feet wide. It will remain in its natural wooded state, so it will be a wooded buffer, and it will serve as both a visual and a sound barrier with the existing growth. In the front of the property, or the south side of the property, the buffer will be a minimum of 100 feet. Basically, it's designed down in this area. It's about 200 feet. These are properties that are owned by others. The 100-foot buffer continues behind those. And then the area south of the ditch, that entire area will remain unexcavated. So that entire area will basically remain as a large wooded buffer from Route 20. As I said, there'll be no excavation in that area. The only activities that would be in that area will be the gated entrance road, which is right here.
Excuse me for a second, Mr. Fuqua. I forgot to mention earlier, folks, and I apologize. Anyone that would like to come up and look at the exhibits, feel free to just get up and walk around here and take a look at them if you wish to. It's really, really fine if you want to see them. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
As I said, the only exception in that area south of the ditch would be the entrance road, and also there would be a scale house and an office. And again, that's where the trucks are weighed, and as I said, there's an office there. The only water or sewer on the site would be for the office, and they would be on-site systems per DENREC regulations. The excavation area on the site has an existing elevation varying between 9 feet and 19 feet. It's anticipated and planned that the excavation would be done in three phases. It would start in the southwest, in this area here, then move to the north portion over here, and then finish with the southeast portion right here. The phases are approximately in equal size. Also on the site, there's a 7-acre parcel that's designated as a sand plant area. And if you're familiar with that, basically that's machinery utilizing screens that separates the materials that are dug. and separates them into gravel and various grades of sand based on their size. Those materials are then stockpiled on the site. The excavation involves, of course, removal of the soil and eventually the use of a dredge, which can remove materials to a depth of about 100 feet. And that was the operation that that was being done at Pit 1. So it would basically be the same type of operation. As far as the pit, there's no dewatering of the pit, so the water table is not affected by the operation. Dust on the site from the activities is controlled by a water truck. The water truck would remain on the premises and operate on an as-needed basis. Any noise of the activities, the dredge or the equipment, again, would be buffeted by, number one, the distance from the property lines, as well as the 100-foot wooded buffer that would surround the site. As far as the items I just mentioned, I do have some pictures just for reference of the what the scale house would look like, also what the dredge looks like, and then the sand plant. So give those to Mr. Lank and ask you just pass those down for your reference.
Thank you.
The proposed hours of operation would be 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. There'd be no trucking activity on Sunday. The proposed use would be subject to and comply with the requirements of the Barrow Pit Conditional Use section of the planning, of the zoning ordinance, which is section 172B, and basically no material would be brought from off-site for mixing or processing on this site. The site is designed and controlled to provide reasonable protection to surrounding properties. The excavation will be phased. As a result of the wooded buffer, the operation really can't be seen off the premises, and the site would be reclaimed upon completion. As I said, there's a 50-foot buffer strip required from property lines. We'd have a minimum 100-foot buffer here, and there's a 100-foot buffer required from roadways, which would be met and in most places greatly exceeded. The pit would be greater than 200 feet from any existing dwellings, and the final site plan of the operation, including the reclamation plan, would require final site plan approval from the Planning and Zoning Commission. And what I'd like to do is just refer to Jeff Clark to explain the reclamation and how that is implemented. Jeff.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Jeff Clark with the firm of Land Tech Land Planning in Ocean View. And the plan that Mr. Lank passed out at the beginning of the hearing is the reclamation plan. It's the plan that we have here on the easel. And there are really two key elements to the reclamation plan. There is there's a safety element that that deals with access into the pit itself, into the water body. The slopes leading into the pit are programmed at 4-to-1, so it's a fairly gentle slope. It's not just a cliff, if you will, dropping off. When you get into the pit itself, it's treated just like a stormwater management pond. There is where the water table is, you drop down a foot, and there is a 10-foot safety bench, and then the excavation goes on down and continues underwater. So that, again, the two key elements with safety then are the gradual slopes going into the pit and the safety bench. The second element then for the reclamation plan is to deal with erosion. The key element here is around the entire perimeter, as this is excavated on the outside, is a what's called on the plan a perimeter dike, and that's a mound of earth that takes place right at that wooded buffer, so that any surface water can't make its way directly onto those slopes and cause them to erode and become unsightly and create a mess. So. The only water that falls then on those slopes after they've been excavated is rain out of the sky. The second part of that component then is revegetating the slopes phase by phase, which the agency will have us they'll monitor that and make sure that before a next phase is initiated that the preceding phase has been stabilized and for erosion purposes. Essentially, that's it. To reiterate what Jim said, we're removing the soil from the site. We're not removing any water, and so there isn't really any environmental impact in that regard. It's all maintaining erosion is the basic element that the agency is going to look for.
And gentlemen, obviously, the reclamation is a very important, as it should be, element of a borrow pit. And I think you can see from the pictures for pit one across the street, and I know you gentlemen view sites. I don't know if you viewed the site across the street, but these pictures, when I first saw those pictures, I thought they were doctored. They look so nice. And if you were down there, you'll see that that is what it looks like. It looks like a golf course is what it's being designed. I do have proposed findings of facts and conditions, which I'll give to Mr. Lank and ask him to pass those down.
Thanks, sir.
What I'd like to do, it'll just take a moment, but as you get these conditions, because there are people here interested in this application, I'd like to read the conditions. These conditions were prepared from prior applications that you've considered, and basically we've tried to incorporate what we consider to be environmental safeguards in the conditions of approval that would make sure that the site is operated in a environmentally sound and safe manner with protection to property owners. So again, you have those in front of you. These would be conditions that if this were approved, we're suggesting that these would be the conditions of approval. Number one, no materials may be brought from off-site for processing, mixing, or similar purposes. Number two, the operation of the borrow pit shall be controlled to provide reasonable protection to surrounding properties as follows. A, a 200-foot buffer shall be maintained along the portion of the site which abuts State Route 20, Hartscrapple Road, and 446 Asbury Road right-of-ways. Existing vegetation within the buffer area between the property line and the perimeter dike shall remain undisturbed. A 100-foot vegetation buffer shall be maintained along all other perimeter property lines within the site. Existing vegetation between the property line and the perimeter dike shall remain undisturbed. And C, a water truck will be available to control dust from interior trucking traffic when conditions require. Number three, the hours of operation of trucking activities shall be from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. There shall be no trucking activities on Sunday. Number four, entrance improvements required by Delaware Department of Transportation in connection with this land use will be completed by the applicant. Number five, borrow pit entrance shall have a fenced gate which shall be secured when the operation is closed. Number six, no materials will be stored on any access road or within any buffer areas. Seven, signage will be placed at appropriate locations to designate pit areas. Number eight, fuel shall be stored in storage tanks with confinement areas as required by DENREC and the Office of State Fire Marshal. Nine, no stumps, branches, debris, or similar items will be buried on the site. 10, a final site plan including all pit side slopes, excavation phasing, and reclamation plan shall be reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission prior to commencement of operations. Number 11, before any excavation operations begin, a complete environmental impact study as defined in connection with Ordinance Number 1310 will be conducted and presented with the final site plan. I might mention Ordinance Number 1310 was a prior approval of a conditional use for a borrow pit, and that ordinance actually defines what that environmental impact study was. So it defines the parameters of what that was to include. Number 12, owner shall comply with all state and county erosion and sediment control regulations. 13, owner shall be responsible for monitoring groundwater quality. Specifically, owner shall install two wells, one above the excavation and one below the excavation. Monitoring shall be performed by a licensed geologist and the results filed on an annual basis with Sussex County and the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. Owner shall be responsible for all costs associated with the water monitoring. Owner shall also be responsible for the cost of correcting any adverse impact on water quality which may be occasioned by the excavation operation. Necessary remediation shall be determined by Sussex County upon guidance from DENREC. Number 14, reclamation plans shall indicate finished grading, seeding, and planting schedules designed to create a pleasing appearance. Reclamation will be completed in phases as excavation operations in a section are completed. Applicants shall notify Planning and Zoning Department in writing on or about April 1st of each year as to the status of the reclamation and reclamation plans for the following year. 15, the 200-acre parcel shall be divided into three phases of approximately 45 acres each. Phase 2 will not be started until 75% of Phase 1 is completed. Phase 3 will not be started until 75% of Phase 2 is completed. 16, the dredge may operate 24 hours per day, but no front-end loaders, backhoes, or other construction equipment with safety buzzers will operate after 10 p.m. And number 17, every 5 years after the start of digging, the Planning and Zoning Department shall perform an inspection of the site and shall request written comments from all appropriate state agencies so that the Planning and Zoning Commission can review the comments to verify compliance with all then existing regulations. After 20 years, the property owner shall complete and pay for an environmental impact study as the phase is defined by DENREC or any successor. Upon certification by DENREC of owner's compliance with the then existing regulations, the permit shall be extended for an additional 10 years, which permit shall terminate upon the expiration of 40 years from the date of the enactment. And again, we just tried to be comprehensive in covering the proposed use as well as what we think would be the proper safeguards for that operation. Kind of in conclusion, the fill material and the operation of a borrow pit is an essential and desirable use that supports all construction activity, including residential, commercial, and road construction projects. This site is, number one, centrally located in Sussex County. It has exceptional fill material on site and is across Route 20 from where an existing similar activity occurred. So the proposed impact of this this pit will be no different than activity that has long existed in this area and really is a proper and ideal location for this type of activity. With the design of the operation and the conditions that would be imposed on the operation, no negative or adverse impact on other properties will occur. And I think the only other thing I want to add is, why is this permit being sought at this time? And basically what I would say to you is that any business that operates plans, and those plans involve a weekly plan and a monthly plan, but another aspect of any business is a long-range plan. You know, where's that business going to go? The nature of this type of operation, a borrow operation, a site has worked, and at some point in time that site is no longer available for fill material. That site is then reclaimed and other uses occur there. A new site has to be known. And that's what part of this planning is. So what the company's trying to do here is to plan for the future. And again, because of the reasons I stated, we think that this is an ideal location with ideal material. That is everything we have to present, and we'll try to answer any questions you have.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone has any. We'll start with Mr. Gordy.
Just a couple. apparently, these conditions, Mr. Fuquay, are similar to the conditions used back in 1999.
Correct, yes.
So apparently there's no trouble meeting those conditions. That's why you stipulate these?
Yeah, as far as I know, there hasn't been any complaints or any violations or any problems with the operation.
Okay. On page 14 of the booklet, there's a statement there that additional information has been requested by the Department of Natural Resources and the State and Historic Preservation Office. Were those received, or?
Is that 14 of the environmental study?
Yes, I think so. I mean, did they make that request, or? It's on the conclusions. It says additional information has been requested from Delaware Department of Natural Resources, Environmental Control, and the State Historic Preservation Office.
Yeah, I don't know if any additional information was received, and I doubt if it was.
Okay.
The site itself, as I said, was a Gladfelder site. There wasn't anything on site.
Okay. And the tax ditch, it won't be affected at all?
No, the tax ditch, we didn't submit it in the record. Jeff, do you have a copy of that? We do have a letter from... We do have a letter from DENREC, basically providing what the different rights of way are for the tax ditches. And our understanding is that those right of ways were construction right of ways. And obviously, these ditches have been constructed, and that you can request a reduction in those right of ways which will have to be done. But no, they will not be affected. As was stated, the pit itself is bermed on the outside to basically separate those uses, so water from the pit will not be escaping and water from outside will not be entering.
Okay. And to clarify, your buffers, the buffers will be maintained as a wooded area now?
Correct. The buffer areas will remain wooded up to the base of the dike.
Because I think I recall about a year or two ago they wanted a buffer, vegetated buffer with soybeans and wheat or something.
That's another one.
Yeah, another one. I just want to verify that this will be a wooded buffer.
Yeah. This is already wooded, and the intent is that it will not change. It'll remain exactly as it is.
That's all the questions I have right now, Mr. Wheatley.
Okay, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The pictures that you passed out, is there a what type of visual impact will the sand plant steel superstructure have on
again,
any neighboring
be,
properties or the highway?
Again, this is the area where it would be located, which would be just to the west of where the entrance road comes on. The road's up here. All of this area here will remain wooded, and where the sand plant is from Route 20, I would, Jeff, maybe you can give me, I'd say it's at least 500 feet.
This is 200, I think that's it's at least 5.
So it's probably 500 feet, so it's pushing 2 football field lengths away from Route 20, so it will not be visible. And again, basically farmland surrounds the property, and again, it's a great distance away. Plus, with the buffer on there, the entire thing's wooded, so I don't think there'll be any visual impact whatsoever other than on-site.
Whatever it is, it won't be immediate, is what you're saying. It's at least 200 feet away.
Oh, no, it's...
500.
Yeah, it's 500 feet from the road.
Okay, thank you, sir. In the exhibit book under Exhibit 6, there's a contract of sale of what... What's the relevance of that to this public hearing? It deals with a property in Lewis 100.
That actually was filed with the application. And what are you telling us? It's not the contract for this property?
No, sir. I just wondered. I didn't know if there was some type of mitigation taking place off-site.
No, what Delmarva Woodlands Alliance 2 actually bought the property from Gladfelder. Mm-hmm. And then David G. Horsey and Sons, Inc. have a contract with Delmarva Woodlands to purchase the property. Is that the...
That's correct.
You have purchased it? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. It has been purchased. So,
Mr. Horsey, we all know who you are, but our tape machine doesn't. If you're going to testify, I need you to come up and introduce yourself, please.
Bobby Horsley. I reside at 14819 Sycamore Road, Laurel, Delaware.
Okay, you were saying.
Yep, the Horsley family has, since this was filed back in 06, we actually purchased a property from Delmarva Woodlands Alliance.
I think if that was attached to the application. This application was actually filed in September of 06, so I think that's been purchased since then.
Yeah.
It looks like a typo in the contract, though.
Yeah, my curiosity was it describes the land as being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, and hence my question, though. No
a very good question. But they own it, so that doesn't matter.
It's too late now.
I hope it was this property.
I think they know where it is. It's probably okay.
We just want to make sure it's not in Lewis.
That's right. It'd have to be withdrawn if it was in Lewis.
Be a golf course in Lewis. Thank you, sir. No other questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Fuqua, approximately what would be the setback from the Skeetum branch?
That's this one, I believe.
Yes.
You'd be better. This would be... Here. Again, right now, this is where I think it's an 80-foot easement area that we'd seek to have reduced. I assume the dike would be, how far would the dike be from the branch?
To scale on this plan, it's about 25 feet from the right-of-way here that's shown on the plan, or the top of the bank.
So you're seeking to reduce your setback from 80 feet to 25 feet?
Well, there's no setback from the, no required setback from the ditch to the pit.
You mean the easement area?
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to seek to reduce the construction easement. Well, the construction easement been used, and indications are Danrick would reduce that.
But there still needs to be a right-of-way for the maintenance of the ditch. Is that not correct?
It's actually there now. We're going to ask them to use the maintenance road that's there now. It's physically on the site. When you go through the process, the NRCS office gives you the right-of-way that was established when the ditch was first dug. And it's generous because they have to dip it out and sidecast the material. You then go back and go through a process that they call a court order change that pares it back down to what they need just for maintenance, which is far less. And we, at that time, you decide on which side of the ditch is most appropriate for that maintenance easement and how wide it needs to be. In this case, the ditch has some age to it. There is a maintenance easement already there, physically there, and a road. So there's just some tidying up to do, depending on how this application proceeds, we need to do with that office for them to recognize that.
And which side of the ditch is the road in the maintenance area on? Is it going to be on the side of your
borrow pit? Actually, the road is on the borrow pit side. So,
on the borrow pit
side. The ditch is removed from that. You can see it on the photograph.
Yeah, on the photograph, it runs along here. I believe this is the ditch. Not that you can see it that well.
The light line is the road, and the darker line is actually the ditch.
So we assume that road would...
So that road would remain, and that would help serve as a setback from the ditch.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And what efforts will be made to prevent any trucks from using Asbury Road as a shortcut to and from Route 9 to get to either Georgetown or other parts that are east?
If you so instruct us, that can be made a condition, and drivers will be instructed not to do that.
Because in these days of high fuel, I can see someone who's traveling from Georgetown, you know, to the borough pit, it'd be much easier for them to take the shortcut on Asbury Road rather than going up to the intersection of Route 9 and Hardscrapple.
That can be controlled by the owner.
Okay.
It might be safer as far as the driver of a dump truck to go out to 20 and 9 intersection than it would be Asbury, because Asbury at that intersection puts off at an angle.
Yeah.
It might be quick turnaround to get back to the site, making a left into there. More, you see that more than you would going out, I think.
Right, but coming back to the plant.
Plant, they could use that rate.
Okay. And when you're all said and done with... whether it's this one or another one, what happens to this property when you're done with a reclamation? Is it just maintained as a 100-foot pond for ever?
Again, there's no definitive plans, but I know when I drove out there and looked at it, as I said, I was quite surprised when I saw how attractive it was. The long-range plans are probably that it would be utilized in some type of a residential use, a subdivision, something of that nature. As I said, there's no definite plans now. It's in the reclamation stage, but it certainly would be a very attractive site for housing.
Okay. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
Just one along the roadway. Has DLDOT approved this entrance?
Has it gone? We don't have entrance approval yet, no.
They won't accept an application until there's a zoning decision.
So they haven't given you any indication on D-cell lane going into?
No. But, again, whatever they require is what we would do. We would have to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Lang?
Just a quick question. You wouldn't object to the stipulation that the access road be required to be from Route 20? If DLDOT wants to stipulate that it comes from Asbury Road, we might have a difficulty.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're certainly planning on that. We have no intent to have any access to the other
road. I would assume that DLDOT would want it on 20 anyway.
Well, the thing.
That's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Couts?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counselor?
No questions.
All right. I just have one for you, Mr. Fuquay. Think you can drive a golf ball across that pond?
Yeah, I can do it.
say, that's an awfully large water hazard. All right, gentlemen.
On a good day.
Yeah. We appreciate your presentation. Kindly ask if you would take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anybody here that with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1741, David G. Horsey and Sons Incorporated? Okay. Jeff, would you mind taking that down so I can see the people? There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1741? Okay, there being none, anyone on the commission have any questions? All right, then. We'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.